The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks. Today is a big day, at least for me. Today is September 20th, and today is the day, this is amazing, my new book comes out. Today is the launch day of my new book, Letter to the American Church, and it's always a big deal. You know, as an author, so much goes into writing a book. This is just about my shortest book, but it was tough to write, and I hate to say it, but I actually think this is the most important book I've ever written. I hate to say it. I wish it weren't true. But I think we are at a moment in America, a total crisis point, and that if the church in America, so if you're not a Christian, this doesn't apply to you, but if you consider yourself some kind of Christian, God is asking you to speak. And I compare this to the German church. I say that the German church was silent in the 30s. This is not hyperbole. The comparison is not inapt. It is absolutely right that our silence in the church today on burning cultural issues, the destruction of everything we've known, the dismantling and deconstruction of everything we have known in the West, in America, these things are of satanic origin, just as the Nazi project was of satanic origin. We have to be bold. We have to speak up. We're being told to shut up. So that's why I wrote the book. But Albin, you interview me about the book. You just interviewed me a couple of days ago. We're going to air that in a few minutes. So I get to play guest on my own show. I'm nervous. Even though it already happened, I'm nervous.
You should be. But, you know, before we even do that, we have to celebrate in the proper way, the way we do all the time. If I can get the Eric Metaxas lighter to work for me, we're going to sing Happy Pub Day to you. Happy Pub Day to you. Happy Pub Day, dear Eric. Happy Pub Day to you. Now, this is an apple fritter.
That is the most beautiful looking apple fritter. I'm just dying to leap through the screen and eat that.
Yeah, I've taken a bite out of it already, but pretending I was you. So there you go.
It actually looks so good. I don't even care about that. Albin, thank you. Thank you for your festive attitude. It really is a big deal for me, folks. You've heard me talk about this a lot, and you'll hear me talk about a lot in the future. I mean, I've already done, I had to get up early this morning to do Mike Gallagher's radio program. I did Moody Radio today. In a little bit, I'm going to be doing a podcast. I can't remember who I'm doing the podcast with. Then I'm doing the Charlie Kirk program. Then I'm doing Jenna Ellis. There's just a lot about launching a book. But let me ask you, folks, if you think you might buy a copy of the book, would you do that today, please? It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. But I also should say this. I haven't said this enough. My goal is to get this message to people who are on the fence, to people who think, oh, I don't think I should be political. I don't think I should speak up about this. I think I should just, quote unquote, preach the gospel. There are tons of people out there who need solid biblical teaching on what the role of the church is. That's why I wrote this book, to help people understand you cannot be silent. That's what the Germans did. It is as tragic as it gets, folks. And when you think, well, that will never happen here, they didn't think it would happen there. I beg you to consider that it will happen here. It is happening now. if the church continues to be silent. Okay, Albin, gotta mention this. So much going on, so much coming up. So first of all, you're going to interview me in hour one today. Oh. Now, hour two today, folks, I almost think we should have run hour two first. You have got to hear our guest in hour two today, Steve Dace. I am telling you, there is a tiny handful of people who are being brave and seeing clearly and speaking out and using their voice. One of those folks at the top of the list, Steve Dace. He is going to be on with me in hour two today. Believe me, you don't want to miss it. And I'll tell you right now, there are plenty of folks out there who are still not subscribed to our newsletter. If you subscribe to the newsletter, we send you these videos once or twice a week. We send you an email with the videos. I promise you, you don't want to miss some folks. Steve Dace yesterday, when we interviewed him, it was everything I'd hoped. He is an amazing voice in the culture. And I want you to get to know these people. You know, it's not just John Zmirak. There are a handful of people out there that are amazing, and their voices need to be magnified. We've got a platform here. We want to do what we can. So that's an hour two today. I got to mention, we have Megan Basham coming up this week. She is another astonishingly clear, brave voice. Folks, we're going to air that. Maybe we'll have her tomorrow. I'm not sure. We've got John Zmirak on Thursday. I'm traveling to Dallas this week. I'm really excited. I'm going to be in the studio at the Stream with John Zmirak to record. He's going to interview me for the Stream. I'm going to be on Daystar TV with Joni Lamb at Daystar TV doing other stuff in Dallas. Go to my website, ericmetaxas.com, and you can see if you can attend any of these events where I'm speaking. A lot going on. And Albin, you know this because I think you'll be there on Sunday in New York City. Sean Foyt is doing a Let Us Worship event in Times Square in New York City. If you can possibly get there, folks, please. I know most of you can't, but there's some of you who can. 5 o'clock in the middle of Times Square, Let Us Worship. You got to check it out. There's a movie screening, a premiere of the film Super Spreader. I'm in the film. I guess I'm walking the red carpet, I guess. That's going to be like 7:30 or 7 o'clock. We're going to go over there. So that's this Sunday. And then, of course, next Tuesday, we have we're launching our fall Socrates in the City series here in New York City with the great Andrew Klavan. It's unbelievable. I have to tell you, if you can get to that, or if you know anybody who can get to that, email us. Because I know there's some people that say, well, I can get to it, but it's a little pricey for me. I want every single seat to be filled. It's a big room, and I would be happy to comp a handful of people, especially young people. If that's the issue, email us, because this is an amazing event. I just want to tell you. So if you know somebody in New York and that's the issue, let us know, because I think we'll do what we can. Now, Albin, I should mention that before we go to your hard-hitting interview of Eric Metaxas, next week I'm flying. This is really crazy. I'm going to be with Kirk Cameron in the LA area. He's doing a bunch of stuff with me. Then I fly to the Seattle area where I'm speaking in Bothell. I think it's Bothell, Washington. Then I'm flying down back to California to Rob McCoy's church, 1000 Oaks, California. And then the next day, Monday, I'm going to be with our friend Greg Denham. I love these guys. Rob McCoy, Greg Denham, these are heroes. I'm going to be with him in San Marcos, California, signing copies of the new book, which is titled Letter to the American Church. Unbelievable. I'm winded just for mentioning these things.
Can I mention real quick that people have got to go to my store and get my coffee from Mike Lindell? I've got a bag right here. It's autographed. It's not autographed by Mike. It's autographed by me. But that doesn't matter. Go there.
Doesn't matter.
Eric, the coffee is unbelievable. This is a 2-pound bag. Ann and I went through it in about a week, and we're going to order more. It's the best coffee. My coffee from Mike Lindell. Use the code Eric.
I am actually so happy to say that it is fantastic coffee. MyStore.com, MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. And folks, you can get most of my books at MyStore.com. Help our friend Mike Lindell. Use the code Eric. We'll be right back with a scary interview. Albin interviews me. That I set my sights on Monday, and I got myself undressed. I ain't ready for the altar. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. I like knowing exactly where my meat comes from. And with Moink, that place is from small family farms all across the country. You can help save the family farm and get access to the highest quality meat on earth when you join the Moink movement today. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should. The Moink difference is a difference you can taste, and you can feel good knowing you're helping family farms stay financially independent, too. Moink is helping save rural America. I love it, and you will, too. Join the Moink movement today. Keep American farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Eric right now. And listeners of this show get free filet mignon in every order for a year. That's 1 year, the best filet mignon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time, spelled moinkbox.com/Eric. That's moinkbox.com/Eric. moinkbox.com/Eric. Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. As you know, we try to get the best guests we can on this program, and I interview these wonderful people. But sometimes we just really can't get anybody of quality. And I said, hey, Albin, you know what? We couldn't get anybody. What about if I were to be the guest and you were to interview me about my new book?
Because when you said, I want to be the guest, I said, well, have you written anything? Have you starred in anything?
Well,
why you?
The fact is, I didn't want to be the guest. I want to be perfectly blunt and say that I am the guest right now because it was Albin's idea to interview me about my new book, Letter to the American Church. So, Albin, since I'm the guest and you're the host, I better shut up and let you. You run the show.
Okay.
You know.
Well, I heard you had Letter to the American Church, so I was looking for something in the mail, something maybe like this, a page and a half.
Right.
Hey, dear church, I got some things to say.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, the guy who wrote Bonhoeffer, you know, 500, 600 pages, of course, his letter is not going to be like 2 pages. It's going to be kind of like 150 pages or something like that, and he's going to put in a nice little book.
Well, it is my shortest book.
It is.
And I mean this, folks. This is a short book, but it is, you know, no joke. I think it's probably the most important thing that I have written, period. Yeah. Period. End of sentence.
Yeah, I know. What's amazing is, and it's very cool because it says on the front, and this is very important because, of course, you wrote about Martin Luther, you wrote about the slave trade and William Wilberforce and miracles. But on the front, and this is an important line, because when I first read it, I said, well, Eric's written all kinds of books. But it says, author of Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. Why is that important? Because in a sense, this is almost like part two
of Bonhoeffer, because you're not Eric saying, hey, listen, I got a message for the American church. You make it very clear in this book. This is Bonhoeffer in his day saying to his church, hey, listen, folks, you got to wake up. And so you are taking Bonhoeffer, in a sense, you're taking Bonhoeffer's warning and his words, and you're turning them around and saying, look, that was 1930s Germany. This is 2020s America. And we're, don't listen to me, folks. Don't listen to Eric Metaxas. Listen to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The German people did not listen. And look what happened to them. And look where we are in America.
That was the challenge for me in writing this book, because I never, I mean, this is true, folks. I've never felt this burning. I felt like I've got to write. I've got to say this, like God put it on my heart to say these things. And I was actually thinking of publishing it myself. I just thought it's not going to be long, but I've got to say this so that some key figures in the American church will read this. I've got to say this. And my publisher, Salem, when we met at NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Convention, back in, what was it? March. They wanted to meet with me. They had some ideas for books that I might write with them. And they basically described this book. They said, we think you should write this book. And I thought, that is absolutely weird. That has to be God, because I didn't tell anybody I wanted to write this book. They described it to me, and I said, I was already planning to write that book. So they're the publisher of the book, Letter to the American Church. But the title, I originally was going to title it, Faith Without Works is Dead. In other words, the American church has gotten so focused sometimes on what we believe that you forget that if you do not live out what you say you believe, you don't actually believe it. God looks at our, James writes about it, I write about it in the book quoting the gospel, the epistle of James, where he basically says faith, he says exactly, faith without works is dead. In other words, if you think you can just say, I believe this stuff, but you're not living it self-sacrificially, you're not speaking the truth when it matters, God knows you actually don't have faith. So your salvation, this is chilling, is on the line. What you do, what you say, how you behave, are you fighting for the truth at a time that it's being under attack? Are you doing all these things, or have you been persuaded to be silent? And I guess I ultimately, what it really boils down to, what I say in the book is that the German church was silent. Bonhoeffer tried with everything he had to get them to speak up and to fight the evil of the Nazis before most people really understood where it was going. And they said, not yet, not yet. We don't want to be political. We don't want to be political. Well, when they finally woke up, it was too late. They had opened their mouths too late. And what I say in this book, and I'm begging people to take this seriously, folks, I'm begging you to take this seriously. The silence of the German church, which led to the nightmare of the Holocaust and everything else, that is precisely the same as the silence of the American church today. We are facing cultural Marxism. We are facing transgender madness. We're facing political enemies who no longer believe in the Constitution, who want to fundamentally transform America, destroy, crush religious liberty, redefine liberty. On every level, we are facing this nightmare, and most leaders in the church have been silent. And I'm saying in the book, please, please try to take this seriously, what I'm saying, that our silence today is leading us to the nightmare, to the same nightmare for America that Germany was led to by the silence of the German church. I believe that is exactly where we are. And if I don't speak about it, I will die. I have to deliver this message. And I believe by God's grace, he'll get it in the hands of people who are open to the truth.
And I'm going to read a question. You have obviously questions and answers in this book. And I want to read this kind of open-ended question. And it's kind of something of a softball, but I want to read it anyway. It follows up on what you just said. You see in America, you know, today, a similar pattern. I think a lot of us do. And you say here, since we have the dramatic advantage of knowing what happened in Germany, will we take what he said, Bonhoeffer said, more seriously than they did? And then you say, will you, like the individual, not just the church in general, because we the people are the government, but we the people are also the church. I wanted you to expand a little bit on what Bonhoeffer did. I mean, how did he saw it, but then what did he do specifically?
Well, it's interesting because Bonhoeffer saw what was happening before other people saw what was happening. And that's kind of like a prophetic thing, right? He could see, whether it's mystically prophetic or it was just his sense from how he was raised, but he seemed to see the evil and where it was going. And he saw that if the church stands and fights, the evil will not prevail. But if the church does not stand, if the church says, well, it's not our job, Romans 13, we're not supposed to speak about political things. If the church does that, he knew where the Nazis were going to take Germany. The Nazis would never say, we want to transform Germany into an anti-Christian or non-Christian country. They weren't stupid. They wouldn't say that. But he knew that that was the DNA of National Socialism. And he tried to get the church to understand, this is what you're facing. And every day that you're silent, you are enabling this to triumph, this evil. And so, you know, you say, what did he do? I mean, he did many things. And eventually, to be perfectly honest, he threw up his hands because he knew it was too late. The German church had failed.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, eventually he gets involved in the plot to kill Hitler. That's way down the line. But in the beginning, he was just with all his heart trying to get the German church to see the urgency. And this is kind of what I find is the key. It's the urgency. It's always the tempting thing to say, you know what? It's just not that bad. We'll get through it. You know, Hitler's a one-term Führer. We'll get through it. The pendulum swings this way and that way. It's okay. Well, Bonhoeffer's saying, no. If you do not speak up now, if you do not fight, if you do not, yeah, maybe you'll lose your job. Maybe you'll go to concentration camp. But the point is, if you do not fight, the suffering that is going to be unleashed, the evil that is going to be unleashed, is inconceivable. And I think that's my point in the book, is to try to get people to know that good people in the past similarly could not conceive of what lay ahead.
Yeah.
They were exactly where we are, where they basically said, that can't happen here. That won't happen here. We know what happened when you see the images of the death camps and all this stuff. You can't believe that it happened. It's so horrible. But most Americans think, well, nothing like that could ever happen. That's not going to happen. It's no different than the German church. They were convinced this can't happen.
Yeah, I came up with a one-word answer after reading halfway through the book. I came up with a one-word answer of how could the church let these things happen? The one-word answer, gradually.
Gradually. That's it. That's right.
Don't give the devil a foothold. Isn't that a scripture? And is the church doing that? And there's examples of that. And I know we're going to touch on that in the next part.
OK, you've said it exactly, Albin. It's the proverbial frog in the tea kettle.
Yeah.
If you do not recognize what is happening, you don't do anything. You just kind of let it go a little further and a little further and a little further. And then at some point you realize, it's too late. I think of when you think of Gulliver being tied down by the Lilliputians, right? At some point, he could have woken up and burst the bands. But if they could just keep tying him down and tying him down, at some point, he would not be able to get up. That's the question of the American church. Well, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Make like a Mr. Meek and you'll get cut out.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Is the government the best mechanism for fighting poverty? Are there any real-life examples of communities successfully combating addiction and homelessness today? How can we best deliver hope to our nation? Those questions get answered September 23rd on SalemNow.com in an inspiring new motion picture from Kingstone Studios based on a true story. In No Vacancy, a demoted journalist finds her cynicism slowly transformed as she befriends a recovering addict while working a story about a church struggling to purchase a motel for homeless families. No Vacancy, starring Dean Cain, T.C. Stallings, and Sean Young, is based on the true story of First Baptist Leesburg, Florida, and a real location, the Samaritan Inn. Movie reviewers are saying movies like this bring purpose to the big screen, well produced, and the acting is tops. Enough cannot be said about how incredible this true story is, and this film does it justice. Pre-order it September 19th at SalemNow.com. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD on Friday, September 23rd at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Typically, I interview someone, but today, Albin, he thought it would be fun for him to interview me since I have a new book out called Letter to the American Church. So, Albin, it's yours,
Usually, it's fun. I got to tell you, my favorite book because of the fun aspect is Martin Luther, because it was such a crazy time. It almost was like a Fun Facts Fridays. There were, you know, relics and indulgences.
There was a lot. There's a lot of humor in my Martin Luther book. Yeah. This is not this a book loaded with fun. No.
I want to go on to what the pastors did back then, and of course, it's going to dovetail onto what the pastors are doing now. I just want to read this real quick, and it's a mathematical calculation, which I found really fun, and it really explains again what happened when the pastors did try to speak up, and who was strong about their faith, and who said, I stand here and no, I'm not going to move. You say, we know what followed in Germany because the 12,000 pastors chose to be. Chose not to be political and shrink back from taking a heroic stand, the Nazis were successful and they were able to marginalize and hopefully get in. But there was, it began with, you started with 12,000 pastors. You said there were 3,000.
Well, no. There were 18. Actually, 18, I didn't 000, know this.
That's right,
18, I didn't 000. Know this until I wrote this book, because I said the parallel to today is that when the Nazis first took over, Bonhoeffer and a few heroes said, okay, we as the church must clearly speak against this Nazi regime. They're basically trying to destroy the church. Now, it's different than it is here in America, but it's the same concept. They basically said, we're going to take over the church. We're going to crush the church. We're going to whatever it is. Something similar is happening today. But in Bonhoeffer's day, the first thing they did was they wrote the famous Barman Declaration. And I write about that in the book. And in the Barman Declaration, they basically made clear that our allegiance as Christians is to the Church of Jesus Christ, and we will not allow the state, the National Socialist Nazi state, to take over the church. We have different views on certain things. We are the church. We don't have a racial view. The Nazis had a racial view of everything. On and on. So they write the Barman Declaration. About 6,000 people sign it, I think, whatever. But 2 years into this, as this goes on, of the 18,000 Protestant pastors in Germany, only 3,000 of the 18,000 stood strongly with the Barman Declaration. Tons of them had been intimidated into silence. They said, we don't want to get in trouble. We're going to keep our mouths shut. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, out of this 18,000, you had 3,000 who were super pro-Nazi, who were happy to crush the confessing church, the people who signed the Barman Declaration. So you've got 3,000 heroes. You've got 3,000 devils. In the middle, you have 12,000 pastors who said, you know what? We're not going to take sides. We're going to be quiet. We're going to be silent. It is because of the silence of those 12,000 pastors that the 3,000 were not able to prevail, that they were the ones having to fight the battles. It's kind of like when somebody gets canceled today and you just say, I'm not going to speak up. Let so-and-so get canceled. Let the hothead talk. And I'm just going to keep my job and keep my platform. And I'm not going to say anything I shouldn't say.
So you had 12,000 pastors in Germany somehow persuaded that silence in the face of evil is the best path.
Yeah.
And what I try to make in the book is that it is because of the quiet, the silence of those 12,000 pastors that unbelievable evil was unleashed in Germany. If any of those, now let's be honest, yeah. of those 12,000, I'll bet you more than half knew that the Nazis were evil, but they said, we're just going to be quiet. We're going to see which way the wind blows. Maybe it won't come from me. Maybe if I just keep my head down, the Nazis will leave me alone. Yeah. And you see that same spirit in the church in America today. You have a lot of pastors thinking, look, I don't want to get involved in the controversy. I don't want people coming after me. I might lose members of my congregation. I'm just going to keep quiet on all of these issues. And you think, folks, how can you be quiet when you're dealing with issues that are just utterly anti-biblical in America? You could say many of them are fundamentally anti-American. We have Marxism, cultural Marxism in various guises taking over, transgender madness, that if you don't go along with the transgender madness, you're losing jobs, people are losing jobs, and children's lives are being destroyed. And I think to myself, how can you be silent today? Well, the reason people, Christians in the church, are being silent, they're saying, you know what? Let the other guy fight that battle. I don't want to be tagged.
Yeah, and you know, part of the problem, and the key word here in this chapter, 12,000 pastors, is pastors. They are the leaders. They get up there, and if you, let's just say you have a congregation of 200 people, your pastor is either not speaking about it or saying like, no, we're going to welcome this and that. You're sitting there saying like, well, if he who knows scripture and he's wiser and he's, if he's going to take that stand, I think differently, but I'm not going to speak up. But if you get up there and you start speaking, you encourage people and say, like, listen, go out there, write the letter, run for office, you know, make a stand. Don't let this happen. So if your pastor, who is a leader, is a strong leader, he's going to strengthen his flock.
Right.
If you want to take your Christianity seriously.
Well, that, I mean, I think that's one of the main points of the book, is that people are hungry for truth and leadership. And somehow many Christian leaders have been persuaded to be quiet. They've been persuaded that to speak up on these issues is to get too political. And I'm here to say, folks, that's not biblical.
Yeah.
Don't agree with me just because we agree politically. Forget it. I'm talking about what is biblical. And in the book, I am very clear that it is about what does God want us to do. We're going to go to another break. We'll be right back. Albin is interviewing me. What happened?
Uh-oh.
Stick around. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to my listeners. That's you. The Percale and Giza Dream bedsheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're now all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer, because there's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057 now and use the promo code ERIC, or you can go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code ERIC. This offer will not last very long. They're known to sell quickly, so order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. Promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. Folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, but I, Eric Metaxas, am the guest being interviewed by Albin, my producer. Albin,
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's great. So, yeah, I wanted to, if you don't mind, there's a phrase I think is so important. It kind of dovetails off of what we just talked about, and that's spiral of silence.
Oh, the spiral of silence. Yeah, I get into this. Chuck Colson introduced me to this idea. I write a lot about Chuck Colson in the book, because he created something with Robbie George and Timothy George of Beeson down in Birmingham called the Manhattan Declaration, kind of based on the Barman Declaration. This is, I guess it was 2009. They recognized what is happening now. They saw it back then, and they said, we need to write a, you know, a document that to get Christians to sign it so that as these things come to the fore, which they're now doing, the Christians will stand up. Well, Chuck was astonished at how many Christian leaders, this is in 2009, refused to sign the Manhattan Declaration. Now, when you talk about the spiral of silence, here's the key. When you're quiet about something, if somebody says, you can't talk about vaccine passports, you can't talk about the negative effects of the vaccine, you can't talk about that the election was stolen, you can't talk about transgender stuff. If you want to work here, you got to toe the line on this transgender stuff or on the on gay marriage or whatever it is that you're being told you can and cannot say, right? If you do not speak, if you're quiet, you are encouraging other people to be quiet. In other words, whatever you do is contagious. So if you're bold and you speak, you're emboldening others. People say, well, so-and-so said such and such. Thank you for saying that because that's what I was thinking, but I was kind of afraid to speak. Now I realize I really do need to speak up. Lives are at stake. Children are at stake. The future's at stake. If you're silent, especially pastors, Christian leaders, when you don't speak, you are encouraging other people to be quiet. And when you encourage other people to be quiet, that encourages other people to be quiet, which encourages other people to be quiet. And it's a spiral of silence. It is exactly what happened in Germany. If the church in particular had spoken up in the beginning, it couldn't have happened.
Right.
But they said, not yet. Let's be quiet. Let's not rock the boat. We're good Germans. We don't want to. Let's give Hitler a chance. Let's just, you know. Yeah. And because of their silence, they made it more and more difficult to speak up. So if you had spoken against the Nazis in the beginning, you could have gotten away with it. The church had tremendous power. But every day, the silence made more silence follow, so that by the time you're in 1935, 36, you wouldn't dare open your mouth because you're going to a concentration camp. So I talk about that. And I guess I want to talk about why many of those pastors, because this is what ties into America today. Why were they silent? Why? They all had these kind of religious answers, religious reasons. One of them, they said, Romans 13, it's very clear, we're not supposed to be political. Folks, that's nonsense. Romans 13 is not the be-all and end-all on this subject. It was written under the Roman Empire, where you would be crucified and tortured. You had no rights. In America, we are deputized. We, the people, govern ourselves. So it's a completely different situation. But in any event, you could see how in Germany they just said, "Oh, Romans 13, we're gonna be quiet." We have a nice religious answer to cover our silence. That we just want to preach the gospel. Some of them really believed that, and I really believe the same thing is happening today. You've got pastors writing books about how we shouldn't be political, and I think to myself, ladies and gentlemen, how can you avoid politics? The unborn, okay, are made in God's image. If I stand up for the unborn, plenty of people are going to say, you're just being political. You're just trying to shove your values down my throat. I am commanded by God to speak the truth about the unborn. Wilberforce spoke the truth about the slave trade. Bonhoeffer spoke the truth about the Nazis. There are many people today in the American church who would say, oh, I would have stood with Wilberforce. Are you kidding? Everybody knows slavery is wrong. I would have stood with Bonhoeffer. Everybody knows the Nazis are right. Folks, let me tell you something. If you are not speaking up on these issues today, you're guilty of the people who did not stand with Wilberforce and who made his life infinitely more difficult. You're guilty of the people who did not stand with Bonhoeffer. The parallel is the same and the excuses are the same. And what I'm trying to do in the book is to get people to see this. A couple of people have written books saying the exact opposite of what I'm saying in my book. One of them is Andy Stanley. He wrote a book called Not In It to Win It. Ladies and gentlemen, I was astonished when I read the book. It's just flat out wrong. I know he thinks he's right, but it's absolutely wrong. And when I say wrong, I say unbiblical, okay? It's not biblical. If it was biblical, I would say, well, maybe I don't like it, but it's biblical. It's absolutely wrong. The idea that getting involved in politics, getting involved in the culture and speaking is not the role of the church, is madness. We've made an idol of evangelism as though we can speak about nothing but, quote unquote, the gospel. That is very confused, wrong-headed theology. But I got to tell you, I went on Amazon to look at his book. There was a fulsome endorsement from my friend Jim Daly, A Focus on the Family. And that's when I thought to myself, many, many good people have been deceived into thinking this is the right path. And I want to say to these good people, folks, please reconsider, because the nation's at stake. Yeah. Many good Germans, many wonderful German Christians got this wrong. Martin Niemöller, the hero, he got this wrong. And when he finally woke up, he knew, it's too late. I spoke up too late. If I would have spoken up a year ago, we could have saved Germany from hell. And the fact of the matter is, it was too late. And I really, as you said, Albin, I wrote this book because the parallels to the German church are astonishing. They had all these good religious reasons. We now know they were wrong, but do we now know that many of us are getting it wrong and that we have an obligation to speak up? Do we understand how bad things are? And do we understand that there are people really suffering in your congregations, outside of your congregation? They are really suffering, and they're going to suffer more and more and more if the church is silent on all of these issues. I just want to say, I know we have to go to another break, but it's hard for me to... I just want to say lovingly, folks, consider what I'm saying in this book, because it is really only what Bonhoeffer was saying. And we saw what happened. People didn't heed his voice then. The church didn't heed his voice then. The question is, will the American church heed his voice today? Okay, we'll be right back. Folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. But I, Eric Metaxas, oddly enough, am the guest. The host is my producer, Albin. He's asking me questions about my new book, Letter to the American Church. And this was your idea, Albin.
This was my idea.
So I'm not...
Because this is so powerful, very serious. And, you know, people out there are going to be like, well, how can I get involved? And what about my church? I'm in a church right now, and the pastor doesn't seem to get it. One thing is the pastor needs to read this book. You need to read this book. But people that do get it, a couple pastors, because Ann and I, every Sunday, we go, most every Sunday, we go to... Jonathan Kahn's church in Wayne, New Jersey. And he has a new book out. You interviewed him. Great book. It's kind of another angle on this.
Yeah.
This is called Return of the Gods.
Right.
And you've got to hear that interview. Ann and I watched it twice, by the way, that interview you did with Jonathan Kahn. Powerful stuff. Jonathan Kahn gets it. He's awake. Jack Hibbs, of course. Calvary Chapel.
Let's be clear.
Yeah.
There are many pastors in the country who do get this.
Yes.
Half of them have become my friends at this point. But there are many that are still very, very shy about this. They're afraid of losing members in their congregations. And I'm just thinking, folks, if you have to try to understand that nothing's new. The German pastors who were silent, it's so easy for us to point our fingers at them and say, oh, I wouldn't have been silent. Folks, they're no different than we are today. They had their good reasons. We now know they were wrong. We now know those reasons were invalid. But they were not saying, hey, we don't care about the truth. We don't care about that. They were just misguided. And what I'm trying to say in this book is I'm trying to say, look at the parallels. Tell me what I'm missing. This is not an incendiary book designed to shame people. This is a I hope a loving message to people and saying, listen, good people can get this wrong. Would you consider what I'm saying here? Would you consider what Bonhoeffer was saying? And would you – I mean, I guess to me the worst thing, Albin, is when I think about the German pastors who were silent when they had to live through the hell of what happened – and then decades later hanging their heads in shame.
Yeah.
I just want to say we don't want to be like that. We don't want to fail and then to hang our heads in shame for decades. So this is an opportunity, but I guess don't do it for yourself. Think about the people whose lives are being affected. Think about young women who are being persuaded that they're confused about whether they're a woman or a man. They're having their breasts removed. They're having these things happening. And my heart breaks. And if you care about these people who are being deceived and you don't speak up, what is the biblical view of this? How many genders does the Bible say? If you're not talking about that lovingly, if you're not talking about biblical view of sexuality, if you're not talking about how critical race theory is atheistic, the BLM movement is atheistic and Marxist and is going to destroy black lives. If you care about black lives, you are obliged, because of the truth of what the scripture says, to speak. And this is just what I'm hoping in the book, is that I can reason with people in this book, because I'll just say this because I know we're out of time, but I will say that, folks, the urgency, this is the key. It's like you may have weeks, months, I don't know, but the silence of the American church is destroying this nation in the same way the silence of the German church destroyed the German nation. And if we do not understand this and repent and begin to speak, we will see horrible things, and we will no longer have the ability to speak. So there's just no doubt, Albin, that this, I've written this book as a warning. I'm just begging people to think about this. I hope people will give this book to their pastors. I know we're out of time, but I'm just grateful for your willingness to ask me some questions, folks. Thanks for listening.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.